happy girl.
Hello, friends, and welcome back to another podcast of Woman at the Well Ministries, where we believe that all of us have to come to Jesus like the woman at the well in John chapter 4. Our highest priority is making God real in your life. Whether you are listening in our app, in your favorite podcasting app, or on our website at watwm.org, we invite you to sit down with us as we look to the scriptures to learn more about God and to strengthen your daily walk with Jesus Christ.
Living her life for Christ, she's a happy girl.
In this episode of the Woman at the Well Ministries podcast, join Kim Miller and Erica Close in a conversation as we walk with Jesus. In today's conversation, we find ourselves in the 40 days before Easter and continue a series of conversations about the week leading up to Jesus' death and resurrection. Join us as we look at these events and their message for our lives. Well, thank you for coming back to the Woman at the Well Ministries podcast. My name is Erica Close, and I am here with Kim Miller.
Hello, and thank you so much for joining us for Tuesday of Holy Week. On Tuesday, Jesus walks back to Jerusalem from Bethany with his disciples. He's passed a fig tree, and he's looking for and expecting to find fruit on this fig tree, and he only finds leaves. So he curses the tree that was not fulfilling its purpose. And when he came to the temple, in essence, he also cursed the religious leaders who had the leaves of profession of religion, but no real fruit of faith and righteousness before God. So as we begin to look at Tuesday of Holy Week, I want you to think about this. I want you to think about the truth that God cursed a fig tree because it was not fulfilling its purpose. And that should cause all of us a moment of pause as we wonder, are we really committed and have set our focus on fulfilling the purpose that God has for each of our lives? Today's reading is going to be in the book of Matthew 21, 18 through 19, and then 23, 27 and 28, and then 24, 1 through 14. So Matthew 24 will have the bulk of what we're reading because we also picked that up in 36 through 44. Erica, if you will start in Matthew 21, 18 and 19.
Absolutely. Now in the morning, as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforward forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And now we're going to Matthew 23, 27, and 28.
Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity.
And then as we continue on in our Tuesday, we're in 24, verses 1 through 14, Matthew 24. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine, and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. And all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then the end shall come.
As we pick up in Matthew 24, verses 36 through 44, they read as this. But of that day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also be coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until all the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be you also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing.
There's a lot to unpack in those two passages.
And we just need to get started.
Let's go.
So the scholars believe, or at least some scholars believe, that Jesus went out of the city overnight because none of his friends would dare to entertain him. So none of the people there wanted any association with him.
So that's why he went out to Bethany to spend the night after being in Jerusalem.
Right, because the people he knew there were afraid of the rulers. So what happens is he goes out of the city and finds rest, but he still has work to do in the city, so he comes back in. Here's something I think we need to pay close attention to. We must never be driven off of our duty, either by the anger and meanness of foes or the unkindness of our friends. In other words, how people treat you or whether they agree with what you are doing or not has no bearing on the truth of what your assignment is or what the work is that you've been given. You can't base whether or not you should be doing something on whether or not your friends, family, or those around you agree with it. It's not their assignment. They don't have to understand it.
Right. Jesus knew what was in that city for him. He knew that all the Pharisees and the rulers were out to get him, right? His friends were telling him that, and he knew. But he still didn't let that stop him, right? Those things didn't move him to stop. They moved him to keep going, and he went about his work. And he just came back to continue what he was doing.
And I think it's important that we see how human he is. He's fully man, and he's fully God, but in these passages that we have read and you're hearing, he was going about his work, but he was hungry. He was in need of sleep. He was intent upon his work, and then he neglected his food, and he came out fasting because he knew that his meat and his drink was to do the Father's will. So he was willing to forsake all the things that he needed and wanted as a man to live in the will of the Lord. And we need to see on this Tuesday of Holy Week the lesson that we are taught is that we may be in the flesh, but we must live for the Spirit. And God will provide what we need in order to do that.
I think it's important that as he's coming back, it tells us that he was hungry, because that is something that we can relate to, right? We can relate to being hungry. All of us are hungry every day. But I love that when he, but that hunger causes this event to happen with the fig tree that leads us into this amazing lesson for each and every one of us.
I mean, clearly he was willing to eat the green raw fruit of the fig tree. It wasn't there. It had not fulfilled its purpose.
And because it wasn't fulfilling its purpose, Jesus curses the tree. He says to the tree, you're not fulfilling your purpose, and there are consequences for that, right? For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap, right? There were consequences to that tree because the tree wasn't fulfilling its purpose.
And it's important that you see right there that he was fulfilling his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't blind to the fact that he was in a dangerous place, that people wanted to hurt him, that people were angry at him. He was also feeling the need for food, and this tree was supposed to do it, and it didn't do it. So he went about his father's business, and he did not please himself. And we are Christians, which are Christ-like, and we are to do as he did. And his top priority, we are taught on the Tuesday of Holy Week, is that we are to follow the Lord, not man, and we are to please the Spirit and not the flesh. And we see that because when the tree was cursed, because it didn't produce what it was supposed to produce, so it didn't fulfill the purpose. And we see that because he went out of the city, but then walked back into the city because he had to go out to be safe. But he came back in to finish the work.
And so when he curses that fig tree, right, he's showing off of his power, right? He's demonstrating to all those that are around it, but he rendered it useless. There were a consequence to that tree, because even though that tree looked really good, it had lots of green leaves, it didn't have any fruit. It didn't have what it was supposed to be doing. It didn't fulfill its purpose, so it had a consequence. It was not going to be able to fulfill its purpose. And there's always a lesson in this. This cursing the fig tree was a lesson for the Jews and the Jewish leaders at the time, but it's just as much, you know, a lesson in the way, right? If we are a fig tree, we need to be a fig tree that is producing fruit, right? Because if we don't, we're not fulfilling God's purpose for our lives. So we need to check our fruit regularly.
We need to be doing what it looks like we're saying we're doing. So this fig tree represents hypocrites all over the world, because they're not able to fulfill their purpose by being fruitful, because they look good, but they're empty. They don't have any principles, and therefore they don't have any roots. They don't have any foundation. They are not doing what they say. And we can't be hypocrites. We can't be hearers of the word only. We have to be doers of the word. And we also see that the fig tree, it represents the state of the nation and the people of the Jews in particular, like you were saying. They were a fig tree. They were in Christ's way. He came among them expecting to find some fruit. He expected them to bear what he had spoken and to do those things that were pleasing to him. But his expectations weren't met at all. They were sorely disappointing. And so in this parable of a fig tree that we read first to you, we are seeing the ramifications of not meeting your purpose, of being a hypocrite, of not giving in to flesh and to follow after the Lord. These are things that we as Christians must know. And this is what that parable tells us.
So we talked about a second passage, too, that came after the event with the fig tree, But the event with the fig tree is about how we're supposed to be living our lives and that we need to be following the will of the Lord, because the second passage that we go into talks about being ready and being prepared for when the Lord actually comes. He's there. The disciples are asking the Lord about what the end of the world essentially we're going to be when Christ returns. They understand this is going to happen. So he's telling them how to be prepared for it, which is very much how to be prepared to live the lives that the Christ has called us to.
So in Matthew 24, 36 through 44, which is where we're going to park for a moment, we are told that there's a certain day and an hour fixed for the judgment to come. And this is called the day of the Lord. No one knows the time, the day, the hour, or anything. You have a lot of people who say they do, but no one knows the exact time of the coming of the Lord. And so the uncertainty of the time of Christ's coming is to those who are watchful like a seasoning of life. We know he's coming. We are waiting and anticipating the coming of the Lord, but we are keeping our lamps trimmed and ready.
And keeping our lives full of fruit.
And we are following to the best of our abilities what God is asking us to do. And we are more watchful because we are closer. Mm-hmm. But to those who are not watching, who are careless, who are not drawing close to the Lord, what it does is it brings pain and death. And they seem to become even more careless. And the further you are away from the Lord, the more careless you are. And the more just irresponsible you are in your lives. So I believe when we look at Matthew 24, 36 through 44, we need to pay attention that he's telling us the events that are going to happen, and we need to expect these events, and we must prepare for them. We must know that judgment day is coming, and this may make us very aware, and it may give us a keen excitement and a motivation and inspiration to be prepared. Because we don't want to be found unprepared. And so in this passage, the people who are drinking and not expecting him and doing all kinds of things they shouldn't be doing, they're not watching, but they're kind of just carefree and at ease. The Christian life can't be bought, and we can't get it by works. But it does require the turning away from sin and the dependence upon Jesus Christ, who fills us with the Holy Spirit, who gives us cognitive awareness of he's coming back, and we need to be in right standing with him. We want to draw closer to him. But these individuals who are just living life to themselves, who have not placed their faith in Jesus Christ, who are completely dependent upon themselves, when he comes back, which is going to happen, they're going to find themselves unprepared.
You know, that passage talks about the flood.
Right.
And it refers back to the flood and to Noah, and it talks about how, you know, the sinners in the at that time, those who were not in the ark with Noah were just taken away, right? They were absolutely taken away, and that was the end, right? That was the end of their story. But those that were in the ark were secured, right? They were secured with the Lord in the ark. And just like the flood came, there is coming that time when we're all going to have to give account. Right? And we're not going to be able to flee at that moment. Just like the flood came and destroyed, you know, when Christ returns, there is no more option. right? Things end, and we all have to be account. And that speaks to the readiness, the need for readiness.
And you see that the disciples there were told to watch, to stay awake, to keep awake, to watch for Christ coming. We have to watch for Christ. We have to maintain our lives so that when he comes, he finds us ready. We have to be ready. We can't just live pleasing the flesh and serving the flesh. We have to please the Lord. And he says daily we must take up our cross and follow him.
I think it's, you know, it's kind of amazing to look at this passage that accounts what happens on that Tuesday and think about the events that it follows. It follows Palm Sunday. It follows Monday when Jesus went in and cleansed the temple. And then we have these accounts that are telling us, you know, about the future. These are Jesus's, you know, last days before he dies. And he takes this opportunity to teach the disciples, to teach those that are around him about what's going to happen in the future and the need for preparation. And, you know, I think as we think about this and, you know, we say that we want to see how these events, you know, play out for us, how these events impact and have a message for our lives. And as we look at Tuesday, you know, we would really do well to live our lives with that awareness that Jesus is also coming to us, right? He's coming to us. He's looking for us. He's expecting to find us. And he doesn't just find us, if we go back to that fig tree, with a whole bunch of leaves that make us look good, right? He doesn't just want to see us acting like Christians, just saying that we're Christians, but he wants to find us with a true relationship with him, a right relationship with him. And if we have that right relationship with him, we're going to produce the good fruit. And that fruit is that love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, right? Those are the fruits of the Spirit. Those are the things that are the fruit that he's looking for. When he comes back, right, that's what he's looking for. When he came to us, when he comes to us each and every day, he's expecting to see fruit. And we need to produce that fruit.
And Jesus is coming.
Yes.
And all the signs that he has given us in his word point us to the fact that he's coming soon. And when he does come, what will he find in your life? Make sure that he will find not the leaves of religion, but the fruit of right relationship with God. Because you have placed your sincere, true, wholehearted faith in Jesus. And you have claimed him as your Savior and your Lord. Remember, you are loved. Jesus loves you.
Thank you for joining us in today's podcast. You can visit the show notes for quotes from today's podcast and scripture references. We pray today has been a blessing, and we encourage you to reach out to us through our app, our website, or our Facebook page. You can find our app by searching for Woman at the Well Ministries in your app store or through our website at watwm.org. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/watwm. If you visit our website, you'll be able to subscribe to Bible Bits, a daily devotion written by Kim and delivered Monday through Friday by text message. Woman at the Well Ministries is a nonprofit organization dedicated to serving our Heavenly Father, and it is through your loving and generous support that our ministry continues to bless others. To learn how to partner with Woman at the Well Ministries, please visit our website. Thank you to the gospel group Fudge Creek for letting us use their hit song, Happy Girl. We greatly appreciate your prayers. We are praying daily for our listeners. Remember that God loves you. You are loved.
Happy girl. Not that melancholy never comes. happens, God is in control. She's a happy girl.